Lebanon says Hezbollah fires a barrage of rockets at Israeli targets in response to an overnight air raid on a Lebanese medical center. And thousands of Jordanians protest against Israel, demanding the closure of the regime's embassy in Amman in solidarity with Gaza and the Hamas resistance movement. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Nearly 6 months into the Israeli genocide in Gaza, the regime continues with its bombing and shelling campaign, causing more deaths and destruction across the besieged territory. Israeli warplanes have targeted three residential buildings in the vicinity of Al-Shifa Hospital in northern Gaza. Regime forces also set Palestinian homes on fire in the area. According to the Israeli military, its forces continue to lay siege to the hospital, where over two dozen paramedics are still inside in the catastrophic condition. In Al-Shujaiya, one of the largest neighborhoods in Gaza, the regime troopers killed eight civilians. Meanwhile, the death toll from overnight strikes on Rafah climbed to 11. Elsewhere, two people were killed in the Israeli shelling of an area near the Barej refugee camp in central Gaza. The overall death toll from the Israeli onslaught since early October is nearly 32,500, mostly women and children. Our correspondent Mutsiaba Musava joined us earlier from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah to update us on the situation in the besieged territory.
Let's begin from Rafah city, as the Israeli occupation forces intensify their attacks against the residential buildings and the areas, particularly those adjacent to the Egyptian border. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, as you know, the current Israeli aggression against the western part of the city, particularly the vicinity and the surrounding areas of the Nasser medical complex, has still continued so far, with more airstrikes and more artillery shelling that reaches that area. And we are talking about also continuous attacks that are still hitting the residential buildings and the residential areas there, knowing that the vast majority of those buildings were completely destroyed and devastated by the chronic Israeli airstrikes that reached and targeted that area when the Israeli occupation forces carried out their first ground offensive against that area, inflicting more damage and destruction. According to multiple eyewitnesses, that the Israeli occupation forces opened the gunfire directly towards the Palestinian civilians. After releasing them, they were kidnapped from the Nasser medical complex, and after that they were shot dead by the Israeli occupation forces in a continuation of the continuous Israeli crimes and massacres. Over the last night, the Israeli artillery shelling was maintained against the northern part of Nusayrat refugee camp.
Palestinians hold a funeral for three youths martyred by Israeli occupation forces. They were targeted in a drone attack in the city of Jenin amid intensified raids on the occupied West Bank. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, who gave us more details.
A 19-year-old Palestinian was shot and killed by the Israeli forces during a military raid to Jenin city. Now we are speaking about two more Palestinians had been killed, but this time they were killed by an Israeli drone strike. Israeli military carried out a drone strike at an area in the neighborhood of Ad-Damaj in the refugee camp of Jenin, killing two more Palestinians and wounding at least nine others. Those two Palestinians who had been killed, one of them is from the city of Nablus and the second is from Jenin refugee camp, and they were killed in this drone strike. This brings the number of the Palestinians who were killed by the Israeli forces in Jenin since the early hours of Wednesday to three. We have to mention that the Israeli forces had also stormed the town of Qabatiyeh in Jenin. Exchange of fire had been carried out between Palestinian members of the resistance groups and the Israeli forces. The Israeli troops, as usual, they used their guns to shoot the Palestinians. At least five Palestinians had been wounded, according to paramedics. This means that the number of Palestinians who had been killed since the 7th of October is today over 450, maybe specifically 453 Palestinians, in addition to the fact that thousands had been wounded by the Israeli forces. Over 7,800 Palestinians had been arrested across the occupied West Bank since the 7th of October.
In a fresh retaliatory attack, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has fired a salvo of missiles at the Israeli city of Kiryat Shemona in the occupied territories. A home was damaged and two settlers were wounded in the strikes. A plume of black smoke was seen rising over the targeted site. The attack followed an Israeli air raid on a medical facility in southern Lebanon. Israeli warplanes targeted the emergency and Islamic relief center in the town of Hub Ariya, killing several paramedics. Hezbollah had condemned the act of aggression and vowed to avenge the attack. Tensions remain high between Hezbollah and Israel since the regime launched its genocidal war in Gaza in early October. Both sides have been exchanging fire, but Israel has intensified its attacks on civilians in Lebanon in recent weeks. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh says the Israeli regime plans to evacuate settlers from the city of Kiryat Shemona, which has been the latest target of the Lebanese Hezbollah resistance movement in its retaliatory attacks.
We know from Israeli media that the rockets hit their target. We're talking about some 30 Katyusha rockets that landed in what the Israelis call the city of Kiryat Shemona, which is a very large area. Big portions of it has already been evacuated by the Israeli authorities. Now we know that the rest will also be evacuated, seemingly, after this targeting. The Israelis said that there is at least one factory that was in flames. There was one settler that was killed so far, others that were severely wounded. Even those firefighters and the paramedics trying to get still people from that factory that were stranded inside, they were also wounded as a result of trying to extinguish the fires and remove the settlers inside the factory. We know that there are still rescue efforts as we speak in the city of Kiryat Shemona right now, in addition to the fact that Hezbollah also said they targeted the barracks, which is the command center for the 769th Division, which is also very significant. Now, you notice that the Israeli media is completely blocked out from any sort of casualties when it comes to the military.
More than 100,000 Iranians have attended a huge religious ceremony at Azadi Stadium on Tuesday. The participants marked the birth anniversary of the second Imam of Shia Muslims, Imam Hassan, may peace be upon him, and showed their unwavering support for the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Farzana Ashuriyun has more.
This is Iran's largest football stadium, where over 100,000 Iranians gathered on Tuesday to celebrate the birthday of the second Imam of Shia Muslims, Imam Hassan, peace be upon him. During the ceremony, Iranians were seen holding flags and reciting the Holy Quran. Palestine, as the most important issue of the Muslim world, was at the center of the religious event.
People are holding the Palestinian flag, saying they want to share the reward of the ceremony with the Palestinian people.
The situation of the Palestinian people is unpleasant for every Muslim, and I want to share this moment with Palestinians and pray for them.
I want the whole world to know that we have not forgotten the Palestinian people and we will always support them.
The ceremony had a special guest, the leader of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, Ziad al-Nakhala, who hailed Iranians' unwavering support for Palestine.
Palestinians' hearts are always with the people of Iran. The Holy Quran always unites us. I assure you that Palestine will live on. The Holy Quran will live on. The Palestinian people will continue their resistance.
Today, Iranians once again expressed their solidarity with Palestinians and condemned the Israeli atrocities in the besieged Gaza Strip in one of the largest events in the country. They emphasized that the Palestinian cause is a central issue for all Muslims and will not be forgotten until the liberation of Palestine. Farzan Ashuriyun, Tehran.
Despite the imposition of extensive sanctions against Iran, the country has managed to emerge as a global powerhouse when it comes to knowledge-based companies. Science and technology parks play a key role in complementing Iran's knowledge-based production ecosystem. Fatima Masoumi has the details.
The main goals of knowledge-based pharmaceuticals is the formulation of herbal medicines using modern pharmaceutical science in order to achieve high quality and effectiveness, Also, taking advantage of the wide range of medicinal plants in the country, these companies seek to help improve public health. In this regard, so far, various medicinal products in the forms syrups, ointments, gels, capsules, and shampoos, and also medicines for treatment of numerous diseases are produced and supplied to pharmacies all over the country. It is worth mentioning, these products were once all imported from other countries.
This company is specialized in extraction, purification, formulation, and production of herbal medicines. And as a knowledge-based company, it has done the formulation of more than 20 of herbal medicines and has supplied 14 in the country pharmaceutical market. Some of these medicines and some of our activities have led to the achievement of various honors and awards, such as Recobizol, which is available in forms of shampoo, ointment, and gel.
The idea of innovation is created before a knowledge-based company is established. Then the entrepreneur develops the innovative idea into a unique prototype. Finally, the manufacturer rolls out the product on a small or large scale.
We, as a knowledge-based and technological company with great investment and serious focus on innovation, are pursuing the production of high-quality products. Having a central laboratory and standards, we have paved the way for relevant search areas. One of the foremost innovations is antibacterial and nanostationary, including the Smart Ink, which has been recognized and registered internationally. Ordinary ink may go bad in high or low temperatures, but Smart Ink undergoes little change and maintains its properties in different temperatures.
Knowledge-based, innovative, and nanotechnology-driven organizations utilize all available potentials in order to contribute to the sustainable development of the entrepreneurship ecosystem in the country. Some manufacturers aim at boosting a national success by getting connected to international supply and distribution chains and improving their proficiency in the field of research and development. Also, with massive exports to developed countries, these groups can help Iran's economic growth. Innovation, knowledge, and entrepreneurship are different parts of the development phases of science and technology parks. There are over 7,000 knowledge-based companies in Iran which provide services and products to domestic industries. Many are active in biotech, computer software, agriculture, food production, chemical tech, steel and gas industries, toys, and so much more. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
Senior citizens are often said to be the biggest domestic victims of Europe's failed sanctions campaign against Russia. Pensioners protested across France as inflation and more austerity continues to cut their purchasing power and standard of living. Ramin Mazari has more from Paris.
Pensioners rallied in hundreds of towns and cities in France against President Emmanuel Macron's determination for even more austerity cuts amid the inflation crisis. When campaigning in 2017, Macron promised he wouldn't cut pensions and that their purchasing power relative to inflation would be preserved. 7 years later, inflation has progressed 17%, while pensions have been increased just 8%. Along with his widely protested pension rollback and age hike by decree in 2023, the gap between inflation increases and pension increases may explain why perhaps no sector of society has turned against Macron more than retirees.
Think about it. How is an elderly pensioner who is largely stuck at home and unable to work is supposed to make up this gap? Now add in the increases we all see in food, heating, and electricity prices, and you can see why pensioners are so upset with Macron.
Oh, on n'est pas malheureux.
I'm active in senior citizen politics, and several years back, many pensioners would not be interested when we would distribute information leaflets to them. They'd say things like, oh, we're not unhappy, or others are poorer than us. But I can report that in recent months, no pensioner is saying that or refusing our help. That's how bad it's gotten in France, and especially in the quality of our healthcare.
Paris has warned there will soon be a second round of austerity cuts to the already austerity 2024 budget.
There are so many retirees who live on less than 900 euros per month, and everyone should be able to comprehend how difficult that is. Many of us have also diseases like cancer and diabetes, and I can promise you that none of us asked for them. We deserve dignity, and not to be treated like we are some sort of lower-class citizen just because we have finished our working career.
An alternative to public service cuts would be increased taxes on the rich or corporate shareholders. But the Macron administration said it doesn't want to go digging into the pockets of the French. As the average household is still reeling from COVID and the disastrous backfiring of Europe's sanctions on Russia, a report from Oxfam found that France's billionaire families have gained 230 billion euros since 2020. That's enough to give a check of 3,400 euros to every single French person. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Thanks for tuning in. It's bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The former U.S. president and Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has a long history of racist statements, having launched his successful 2016 presidential campaign by describing undocumented migrants crossing the southern border with Mexico as rapists and drug dealers. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. 33 people attempting to cross the U.S. border with Mexico drowned in the Pacific Ocean near San Diego after the Trump administration nearly doubled the height of the walls along the southern border, a staggering increase from previous years. According to a study published recently, the number of drownings rose by 3,200%. From 2020 to 2023, compared to 2016 to 2019, when just one person drowned. By 2019, the Trump administration had elevated the barriers around San Diego from 17 feet to 30 feet. The expansion has had significant impacts and a major human toll. In addition to the drowning deaths, a 2022 study found an unprecedented increase in border wall falls and deaths. Donald Trump campaigned on the so-called promise of securing America's borders while routinely demonizing immigrants, and work on the border barrier has continued under the Biden administration. Last year, doctors in San Diego saw more than 400 patients who had been seriously injured at the border wall, a significant increase from 2022. Nearly all of the injuries occurred from people falling off the wall onto the U.S. side of the border. The authors of the study published in the JAMA Journal recently suspected that the increased risk associated with the border barrier may have encouraged people to try to enter the United States by water, which resulted in more deaths. They found a significant rise in deaths in San Diego, where the wall stretches across the sand into the water at Imperial Beach, as well as a 30% rise in drowning deaths in canals and a 133% increase in deaths in all other bodies of water. Drownings along the Rio Grande River, where there is largely no wall, remained almost unchanged. The authors of the report, Anna Lucia, a medical student at the University of California at San Diego, and Peter Lindholm, a professor at the same university, began exploring the issue after Anna Lucia noticed a lack of information on drowning deaths of people trying to cross the border. They had been looking at the occupational health of lifeguards and other workers. Lucia said in a statement from the University of California at San Diego, the lifeguards showed us a presentation on migrant rescues they were performing because of potential human smuggling. Their stories weren't showing up in the news, and the numbers struck me as odd. Anna Lucia looked at data on the drowning deaths within government data sets, but it was not readily available and missing critical information. She and Professor Peter Lindholm ultimately collected data from the Missing Migrants Project, which included the date and coordinates of drownings as well as the number of people who had died. The authors of the report plan to expand their research to better understand the rise in deaths, but Professor Lindholm said the increase is unlikely due only to an increase in immigration. He said, looking at the numbers, you can see that it's about the same in the Rio Grande River, and it's a little more, but not extraordinarily more, in the ditches and canals. He added, we don't have absolute data on how many people migrated, but if the numbers of drownings was related to the rate of immigration, you would probably have a similar increase at all places. The website Reddit has also covered the same story and tells us more. Reaching for racist rhetoric, bizarre even for him, Donald Trump compared undocumented migrants to the United States to Hannibal Lecter, the serial killer and cannibal famously played by Sir Anthony Hopkins in the Oscar-winning 1991 film The Silence of the Lambs. The former U.S. president and Republican presidential nominee claimed in an interview with Right Side Broadcasting Network on Monday, 4th of March, they're rough people in many cases from jails, prisons, from mental institutions, insane asylums, adding, you know, insane asylums, that Silence of the Lambs stuff, Hannibal Lecter. Anybody know Hannibal Lecter? To laughter from the audience at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, Trump added, we don't want them in this country. Trump has made such statements before, including in his speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland last month. As framed to Right Side, they were the latest piece of extremist and dehumanizing invective from a candidate seeking to make immigration a core issue of the 2024 presidential campaign. Donald Trump has a long history of such racist statements, having launched a successful 2016 presidential campaign by describing Mexicans crossing the southern border into the U.S. as rapists and drug dealers. His liking for Hannibal Lecter led him to claim at a rally last October that the actor who played the character said on television, I love Donald Trump, so I love him. Anthony Hopkins has not publicly said he loves Donald Trump. In 2018, he said, I don't vote because I don't trust anyone. Brian Cox, another actor to have played Hannibal Lecter on screen, has called Trump an idiot person. In 2016, Mads Mikkelsen, who played Hannibal Lecter on television, told CBS News that though he could definitely laugh at some of the stuff that Donald Trump has said, he can also go, "Oh my God, did he really say that?" Donald Trump is an alleged serial offender facing 91 criminal charges as he runs for office. Yet despite those charges, 17 of them for election subversion, 40 of them for retention of classified information, and 34 for hush money payments to a movie actress, and multi-million dollar civil penalties over his business affairs and a rape allegation, a judge called substantially true, Trump dominates the Republican primary. He also leads Joe Biden in most general election polling. Surveys subject to warnings from experts about sampling techniques and accuracy so far out from election day. As in his successful run for president in 2016, Trump is seeking to use problems at the southern border with Mexico, high numbers of arrivals from Central America, presented as a crisis, either real or not, as a central campaign issue. At his direction, Senate Republicans sank a bipartisan deal on border and immigration reform. House Republicans have refused to move on the issue. President Biden has sought to emphasize Trump and Republicans' refusal to work on solving the border problem. President Biden's campaign has also repeatedly slammed Donald Trump for using far-right fascistic language when discussing migrants, including a repeated claim that migrants are poisoning the blood of America. The Biden campaign directly compared those remarks to Adolf Hitler's rhetoric during his rise to power in Germany.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 151st sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, where he is preparing the community for an impending confusing state of fitna and a tribulation and a test and an examination that the community would face, giving us an insight on how a leader and a manager needs to be able to foresee certain events and prepare the community for and prepare the people to be able to face the challenges and the fitna that is coming. This is very important, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says in this particular statement and in this sermon. He says, وَتَثَبَّتُوا فِي قَتَامِ الْعِشْوَةِ, that be careful and be firm when the path is filled with dust and fog and you cannot see carefully. At that time, be careful and be firm on the path by sticking to those principles that are clear and firm. And we discussed about this at length and gave some examples. And you can find examples in your own day-to-day lives to confirm this issue.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, in today's world also, sometimes such confusions come in people's lives. One of these confusions is, for example, when ISIS started to do a lot of activities and they came in the name of Islam and holding the Quran, okay, and saying that they want to uphold the Islamic government and things like that, right? This is also a type of fitna. This is a confusion. The Muslim people need to ask themselves a few questions. That yes, the original idea of having an Islamic government, an Islamic system of ruling is a good idea, because Islam is the most perfect religion with all the right teachings. But the point that we need to ask ourselves is that there are certain issues that are very clear in Islam. Islam does not allow ruthlessly killing people and terrorizing them in such a manner. This is not permissible in Islam. This is a very clear statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran clearly mentions one who kills one person has killed a whole of humanity. Especially, he says, "Man qatala nafsan bighayri nafs aw fasadin fil ard." One who kills a person without that person having killed another person, or without that person having committed a big crime like corruption in the lands, an innocent life, without a reason, without a purpose, that person has as if he has killed whole of humanity. Now, this is a clear principle. While we saw that these individuals would kill innocent people who had no crime at all. Not only innocent, their own Muslim brothers. They would take the Quran and they would say that we are killing in the name of God in a ruthless way. These are clear indications that these guys were wrong. You see, this confusion that people got, oh, this is what Islam says. No, Islam doesn't say that. If you refer to the major principles of Islam, Islam is against these. And to give you an example, you can look at the Islamic Republic of Iran and how the non-Muslims are living in safety and protection inside the country. You can see that. That is a very clear indication to show you that Islam is a good religion based on scholarship, based on strong erudition and understanding of religion.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
وآل محمد وعجل فرجه Now, we can give you various examples of fitnas and confusions that have been caused. And this is very important for us to refer back and look at these examples one by one to see how we can find those very basic and firm principles to stick to when we are in states of confusion, right? So one of the examples was this fitna that came about with the name of ISIS, where many Muslims got confused. Non-Muslims also got confused. In fact, they felt, if this is Islam, we do not want it. But that wasn't Islam. In fact, later on, it was proven that the very Western hegemonic powers were the ones that financed ISIS. They are the ones who financed Al-Qaeda. They are the ones who financed all of these terrorist organizations that we have. You realize then, if they are the financiers of this, then who is the real culprit and where do these people stand? These are clear principles that we need to refer to in states of confusion. Another confusion that people faced was when suddenly a certain Western country comes up and says that we want to fight for freedom. We want to fight for example, saving humanity. Again, you need to fall back on your basic principles and see that which countries deserve to fight for freedom and justice and humanity. Just look at that. Just this statement, if you contemplate on it, you'll realize. Does a country that breaks laws around the world, that kills people, that finances terrorism, that does all of these crimes, do they deserve to spread justice in the world and to fight for other people's freedoms? Or are the countries that themselves have upheld the law within their own countries, they deserve to do that? If you ask yourself these questions, you'll realize and you'll fall back on those general principles that are firm and clear, and these fitnas will become easy to handle. Inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps us to be firm in the path when these confusions arrive. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, Salam everyone, welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Noble Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulama, Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12 infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. The theme of the 16th episode of the Ramadan special series is bravery, focusing on the ayahs 43 to 47 of Surah Taha of the Noble Quran. Stay with us, please. We often get angry when we see injustice towards others. We want to shout or do something, but we may not be that brave to do it. So, we keep silent and shut our eyes not to see anything. A servant of God fears only God and relies on Him, especially when he wants to defend truth or speak truth. The Noble Quran has several times spoken of the accounts of prophets and their confrontation with arrogant and oppressive people or rulers. Prophet Ibrahim, for instance, was a prophet who designs a plan to struggle the false ideas of disbelievers and bravely put them into action in due time without an iota of fear or shakiness. He breaks down all idols except the big one. According to the Quran, he leaves the big idol intact so that it may cause the people to come to their senses and realize that unanimated objects who fail to defend themselves do not deserve to be worshipped. Prophet Moses, too, was very brave. Almighty God gave him the mission to invite Pharaoh to the truth. Since his brother Aaron was more eloquent than him, Moses asked God to let Aaron to accompany him to act as he wanted to speak to Pharaoh and his courtiers. Thus, these two apparently ordinary persons went to confront Pharaoh, who was very powerful politically and economically, and had a broad influence among people. Ayahs 43 to 47 of Surah Taha relate Allah's command to these prophets. Go to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has rebelled. Speak to him in a soft manner. Maybe he will take admonition or fear. The two of them said, Our Lord, we are in the forestall us or will overstep the bounds. In the next ayah, Allah answers them, Do not be afraid, for I am with you too, hearing and seeing whatever happens. Being heedful of Allah's presence makes man brave. If man considers himself linked with Allah, he will gain courage so that he will not be afraid of any power. Prophet Moses, perceiving nearness with Allah, stood in front of Pharaoh and his courtiers strongly and overcame them. When Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, migrated from Mecca to Medina, Imam Ali, peace upon him, laid in his bed, knowing that polytheists would pour into the house with the aim of killing the Prophet. They were pioneered by Khalid ibn Walid. Khalid rushed towards the bed with a sword in his hand, but Imam Ali quickly jumped up and bravely took his hand and squeezed it so that Khalid cried out in pain. Imam Ali, peace upon him, took Khalid's sword and turned towards the assailants, like a lion. So they escaped like foxes and asked Imam Ali, peace upon him, while shivering, "We have nothing to do with you. Where is your friend Muhammad?" The commander of the faithful answered, "Have you given him to me that you are looking for him here?" Thus the polytheist left in despair. Allah describes in Ayah 54 of Surah Ma'idah his servants who struggle in his way. Allah will soon bring a people whom he loves and who love him. They are humble towards the faithful, stern towards the faithless, waging jihad in the way of Allah, while they do not fear the blame of any blamer. According to this ayah, those who are loved by God do not fear anyone. One of the most important aspects of fear is the fear of losing one's face. We know many persons who have waged jihad in the way of Allah, ready to lose their life, but when their reputation and face was at risk, they were afraid and relinquished to support Allah's religion. This ayah clearly says that those whom Allah loves and who love Allah do not fear the blame of anyone. An important way applied by oppressors and arrogant people to dominate and rule over masses is to belittle and weaken them to turn them into cowards. This will make them capitulate to the commands of rulers. Pharaoh applied the same method, as it is said in the Quran that he belittled his people so they obeyed him. Another example was the reign of Mansur Dawaniqi, the Abbasid ruthless caliph, who wrote to his son, "I have subdued people in three ways. Now they are three groups. One group are the poor and the destitute who always extend their hands towards you. The second group are the fugitives who migrate and always fear for their life. And the third group are those who are in prisons and wish their freedom only through your pardon. When you come to power, do not provide much welfare and comfort for people." Bravery has a lot of manifestations, though bravery in the battlefield is an outstanding manifestation of it. Other manifestations of bravery are bravery in politics, bravery in judgments, bravery in expression of scientific issues, bravery in bidding what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and bravery in clarification of truth. Yet, the most important kind and manifestation of bravery is the bravery in struggling against desires. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "The bravest person is he who overcomes his desire." In the modern age, Imam Khomeini was a unique personality in all human merits, but his bravery was very conspicuous as he spent his life in striving in the way of Allah and struggling oppressors and the global arrogance symbolized by the U.S. His valor was prominent among ulema, politicians, and leaders of countries. In 1963, when he was arrested in his home at midnight by the agents of the Shah, he had not lost his moral at all. As he narrates the event, "When they were transferring me to Tehran by car, the car deviated for a moment from the road and went towards the Salt Lake. I thought that they intended to kill me. At that moment, I referred to myself to see if I was scared. I found that I was not scared. Ayatollah Khamenei describes Imam Khomeini with the words, "He broke idols and erased polytheistic beliefs and made nations understand that it is possible to become powerful, to break up the chain of enthrallment and grappling with domineers."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Arabi English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Muhammad, without any preface, due to time factor, we just start discussing this beautiful hadith. You know, we all have a situation in this world. People are not equal. Some people live in poverty, some people live in wealth. So there are wealthy people and there are poor people. Well, poor always want to become wealthy because he see at the other side of life the wealthy person's life as a blessing, and he has a lot of assets in his life, lots of means of being happy in his life. Well, this is the assumption of the poor people. It is not necessarily correct. But anyways, there's a beautiful hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, إِنَّمَا فُرِضَ اللَّهُ السِّيَامِ لِيَسْتَوِي بِهِ الْغَنِيُّ وَالْفَقِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put fast on us, fasting on us. He ordered that we have to fast at least a month in the year, and he made it obligatory on us. What is the reason? إِنَّمَا فُرِضَ اللَّهُ السِّيَامِ لِيَسْتَوِي بِهِ الْغَنِيُّ وَالْفَقِيرُ. Allah wants to see ghani, means the wealthy person, and al-faqir, the poor person, in an equal situation. So especially those who are wealthy, they can understand what poor people are going through, what people are suffering through. And this is very important. I just remember a beautiful story from Imam Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam. Once a group of people came to visit Imam Kazim salamu alayhi at the door, when they knocked the door of the house of Imam Kazim, servant of Imam came to the door and asked, "Who are you people?" They said, "We are the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. We are the Shia of Imam Kazim." When they came in to see Imam, Imam said, "Did you guys call yourself Shia of us?" They said, "Yes, yes, yes, Imam Hassan. Yes, Imam Kazim. We are your Shia." Imam said, "Hold on, hold on, hold on. When you guys in your area, in your territory, in your state, in your city, village, where do you live? When one need something, can go and put his hand into the wealthy person's pocket and take what he need, or no?" They said, no, we don't have these kind of people. He replied, "We don't have these kind of established trust among us." Then Imam replied to them, "Then don't call yourself Shia. You are Muhib. You love us and you are good. You are still on good path. But still you are not Shia. You are not." Shia means trust. You have, as a Shia, we have to establish a relationship of trust, or trustworthy relationship among us, in a very high extent, in a very, 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 the most possible extent. So wealthy and poor, into the eyes of Islam, we have to be the same. We have to, especially those who are wealthy, they have to care about the poor people a lot. And this is the meaning of this hadith of Imam Sadiq salamu alayhi, where he says, "Innama faradallahu siyam." Allah has made wajib salat on us, sawm, fasting on us. What is the reason? The reason is liyastavi bihil ghani wal faqir. Allah wants to see all the wealthy people and poor people. Sometimes they are same. So wealthy people can feel the pain and the problem and the issues of the poor people, and this is the main goal. Allah wants to see us in an equal way. If we are wealthy, we have to care about the poor, and this is the target and this is the goal of the basic teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. Innama faradallahu siyam liyastavi bihil ghani wal faqir. Faqir and ghani has to be equal into the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
We'll be right back.
Not facing a U.S. veto this time, the U.N. Security Council finally called for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, which has so far fallen on Tel Aviv's deaf ears.